everybody. I'm Tom Dorsey.
Jay Gragnani.
It's November 8th, 2017. It's the Broker Institute this weekend. We got 100 people coming in from all over the world, from Armenia even.
Yeah.
From Armenia.
As far as Armenia and as close as Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a great week. I mean, there's a lot of education taking place there. But that's a whole other story. I'm going to start off with something here. I'm going to start off with a movie. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And I'm going to play you a couple of bars of it. And then we're going to answer the question, what's happening today? So let's begin with this.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, sir, yeah.
Plastics.
Exactly. How do you mean?
There's a great future in plastics. Think about it. Will you think about it?
Yes, I will.
Enough said. That's a deal.
Okay, that cracks me up. I love that movie. I'm not going to tell you what that movie was. Some of you will know immediately what it is. This goes back to 1967. And I'm just going to leave it up to you to figure that out. In fact, you could probably just type into Google what you just heard.
That quote, yeah.
That quote, and it'll bring you to the movie. But I'm going to let you go ahead and do that yourself. So today, if I were talking to someone who is a millennial that said, hey, could you possibly give me some advice on what direction I should go with my life because I'm just graduating college, you know, I don't know from anything. I need some advice. Put me in a direction. I would say one word. Robotics.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great future in robotics. And it's interesting today from 1967, you hear someone say, plastics. Well, that was the case. Everything plastic. Now it's all floating out in the ocean and drowning fish and it's turned on us. But today, robotics.
Yeah.
And when you think about, take Japan, for instance, where a lot of these robotic companies come from, names you haven't even heard before, and I'll tell you how to find them. The Japanese public are getting so old. There's very few young people to take care of the elderly. So Japan is moving very rapidly toward robotics, robots that are actually going to be able to take care of the elderly.
Hmm.
I mean, they're the first ones on here moving forward with this. They've got it working right now. Think back, when you think about Japan, think back to the iPhone. And I remember distinctly that the people in Japan were called the thumb people. This was them
the
typing.
Thumb people. Okay.
The thumb people.
Okay.
Because this was when the advent of the iPhone or not the iPhone necessarily. This might have been a Japanese version of it.
The smartphones in general.
The smartphones in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they were typing with their thumbs.
Yeah. Like probably BlackBerry was when it all started.
Yeah,
right?
It could have been BlackBerry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Hadn't come to the United States yet, but I remember reading the article about the thumb people, and those were Japanese.
Yeah.
So robotics. One of the cool ways to think about finding stocks in robotics is exchange-traded funds have to be transparent. So if you type into Google, I mean, you've got all the technology at your fingertips. You type into Google and say exchange-traded funds that are robotics or anything related, you're going to get more pages than you can possibly imagine. Go to that exchange-traded fund. Go into the system. Look at what's inside the exchange-traded fund because it's got to be transparent. Then you look at those stocks inside there. Take those stocks, put them into our system in a matrix. Run the matrix and take the top five strongest.
Yeah.
Think about that. I mean, all the information that's available to you if you just take that one little step.
Yeah. You know what I thought of when you were just saying that? The slogan, there's an ETF for that. What was it? What was there was a slogan. There's an app for that?
I don't remember.
I think there's an app for that.
Oh, yeah, there's an app for
slogan.
That, yeah.
Yeah. There's an ETF for that. I mean, you think about it. In robotics, if you want to look at any kind of theme or whatever it is, there's an ETF for that. nowadays. You can you look out there, there's over 5,000 exchange-traded funds that trade on exchanges all over the world. And you look, there's an ETF for robotics. And whether it's buying the ETF itself or looking at the individual names and running them through a matrix on our system and pulling out the best individual stocks of those ETFs, there's an ETF for that out there.
That's kind of creating your own unwrapped ETF.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can't think of a better way to explain to a customer how you use the DWA system to benefit them. I mean, that would tell me right there, I got to be your client. I got to be your customer. Nobody else is telling me this.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's happened on the FV front?
Oh, yeah. So one of the, you know, you mentioned robotics, and certainly in 2017, the big theme and the big trend this year has just been technology in general. Technology stocks in general have been leading the charge of the markets to new highs. And when we look at a number of our models, all of the models on our system have had technology exposure in them to greater or lesser degrees throughout the course of the year. One of the most popular models on our site is the Focus 5 model. And so the First Trust Focus 5 model looks at about 20 different sectors, broad and sub-industry groups, and then looks to identify, puts all of those sectors into a relative strength matrix to rank them, and pulls up the strongest sectors on a relative strength basis. And the idea is that it's always going to own five of the strongest sectors out of that inventory that we're looking at. So just today, as a matter of fact, on Wednesday, we saw the second change in that model throughout the course of the year, and that change was increasing that technology exposure from two positions up to three positions. So there's now, out of the five holdings in that Focus 5 model, three of those are allocated towards the broader technology space, and then there's banks, and then the fifth one is industrials in there. And so I think it's telling to what we've seen in the market is that technology has been strong all year long, but we continue to see that strength there within technology and haven't seen any signs of technology in general falling down to the wayside. And so when you look at that, you know, on the surface, you think, geez, you know, three out of the five holdings, that's 60%, if we equal weight it, 60% of the exposure within that ETF or within that model is now technology. It's now on par with the Qs. If you're familiar with the PowerShares QQQ, which tracks the NASDAQ 100, it's a similar technology exposure. It's about 60% there. But I think what's even more interesting is when you drill down underneath the surface and you look at that and you say, geez, there's, you know, only five ETFs. But if you dump all of those ETFs out and look at all the individual stock holdings across those five ETFs, there's 239 unique individual stocks that are held within that model of those five tickers. And so, and no one stock is any more than 3% of that. And, you know, you look at things like Alphabet, if you include, or Google, if you include both share classes, would be the largest individual stock, followed by Facebook and Amazon. And then you see names like J.P. Morgan and Citigroup up there at the top as well. So it's pretty interesting. If you're not following the Focus 5 model or aware of it, I would highly encourage you to take a look at it. It's a model on the website. And if you do, you've seen the change that has come out today and this week within the portfolio. So pretty interesting change, but continues to pick up on that. The broader theme of technology is continuing to be to lead the charge in the market this year.
Well, if you look at that, you pull it up, pull up FV on our system, and then hit performance, and look at the performance the FV has had, and it would suggest to you that should be in everyone's portfolio. Now, there's an FVC,
yes,
which has a cash component to it. Now, that is, if I was back in production and I was creating portfolios for my customers, I would want automatic risk management involved in it. Doesn't mean it has to kick in. Like right now, if you look at the matrix of everything in the FVC, cash is the bottom.
Yeah.
It's at the absolute bottom. Hasn't worked its way up. But it has the ability to work its way up. If things begin to get bad in the overall market, then cash is in that mix every day. So why wouldn't I own FVC over FV just itself? The C doesn't put a drag on it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come in until it's needed. And when was the last time it was needed?
So cash was in. So FVC as the ETF came out in the beginning of 2016, and actually when it launched at the beginning of 2016, it came out with some levels of cash in there. And if you recall back to 2016, you had that 2016 started off very different than 2017 did, where you had a lot of volatility in the market in January and February of 2016, and having a little bit of buffer in there certainly helped benefit that. If you go back and you look at the matrix of just historically, you look right now and cash is sitting there at the last position. And so the way that strategy works, that C, that cash piece comes in or is triggered only when cash moves out of the bottom third of the matrix. So as long as cash is in the bottom third of the matrix, in other words, another way to think about that, if there's at least two-thirds of the equity inventory that we're looking at that is outperforming cash, we don't want cash to be in the portfolio, so it's going to stay out of there. But as soon as it moves up into the top two-thirds, then we'll begin to see cash introduced in the portfolio. And again, it was back at the very beginning of 2016 is when you saw cash come in there. Previously, you have to go back to markets like 2011. You saw some volatility come in. You saw, that's an area where that money market proxy or cash in the matrix would have moved up within the top two-thirds. And then, 2008, and that's a type of environment where if you're looking at the matrix and looking at historical rankings, those are the types of environments where you want the cash to be able to come in there. At the same time, you want it to be able to get out when the market gets back on solid footing, and that's what that strategy can do.
Yeah. And at some point in time, there'll be a little bit of a drag in there, but that's okay. I would want that peace of mind to have the embedded risk management. Mm-hmm. And what that does for the advisor, too, is it gives you more time to do other things for your customers than just be watching that every single day and have to make that choice. At some point in time, you're saying, I'm going to sell a certain percentage of this and add cash.
Yeah.
When it's better off just explaining to the customer how that cash will come in, when it's needed to be in, and it takes you out of that decision-making process. Because invariably, when that cash needs to go in there, you're not going to do it.
It's not going to feel right. Never does.
It's not going to feel right. Yeah. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Well, I'll tell you what. Did you have anything more to add? That's a lot to think about.
Yeah, I think that's the
I think it's a lot to think about in one
stuff.
Day.
Yeah.
Think about creating customer portfolios and other things that we have. What do we have that has cash in it?
There's a number of models out there. There's FVC is, mm-hmm. is the first trust ETF. There's the Sector 4 model or Power mm-hmm. 4 model.
With cash. Uh-huh.
That's a cash, a sector rotation, just looking at broad sectors with cash. And then the People's Portfolio mm-hmm. is an ETF. Is a model that we've been running on our site for, 6 years now? 8 years now? I can't remember exactly. That's now in an ETF. In an ETF, and that has risk management built into it, too. It's just slightly different in that it's looking at the cap-weighted market versus the equal-weighted market, and then if neither one of those can outperform cash moves in.
100% of that piece.
Yeah, yeah.
That's unique. You create a portfolio just with those.
And so, yeah, it's like you've always talked about the bricks. These can be bricks in your portfolio that do the risk management inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could create a portfolio of ETFs that... And the benefit of the single QSIP, obviously, is when they raise cash, you're not selling individual ETFs, creating taxable events and right. that type of stuff. But there are bricks in the portfolio that allow the portfolio to raise cash. It's not called cash, but it's still a QSIP in a client's account.
Why would you ever take FVC out of an account? If it was in the account, I accept the way that we do the sector rotation, so I want sector rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I accept the way the AlphaDex that First Trust does the fundamental side of it.
Yeah.
We take our list of those, put the FVC in the portfolio. Why would you ever change it? Why would you take it out? There's no need to.
You would need to.
You have the risk management built in. You have the right sector rotation. I'll tell you what. I think I'm going back into production. This is just it's too good.
It's too good. Yeah.
All right. Let's stop there.
Sounds good.
Catch you all next week.
Thank you.